This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, brought to you by CopyBet. It's your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Mark's having a well-earned break this week, so it's Jack Reeve joined alongside James Milton to guide you through proceedings today. James, how's things?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, really good. It's already been a busy week of football. It seems like we kind of bookend the footballing with this podcast. We've already seen Champions League action this week. Manchester City dominant against Bayern. Chelsea struggling once more. Where would you like to start in terms of those games?
Yeah, I mean, I think Manchester City, you know, they are the story, aren't they? In the harder half of the draw there. But, you know, the market rates them so highly. You see that kind of for the past two or three seasons, the price they've been at the end of the group stage, you know, it's surely a matter of when rather than if they win this elusive Champions League. And you know, that was a commanding performance against a Bayern Munich side who, you know, have had their domestic issues and obviously changed their manager very recently. But in the Champions League, they'd won 8 out of 8 this season, including kind of home and away doubles against Barcelona and Inter, and obviously against PSG in the previous knockout round. So, you know, this was a serious test for City. And Bayern did show their quality, but, you know, they ended up 3-0 to Manchester City, continuing their dominant form. And, you know, they really do look like they're peaking now, both domestically and in Europe. It was always going to be an interesting season with the World Cup break. And, you know, you talk about kind of racehorse trainers tuning up their stable stars for the big day, and it looks like Pep Guardiola's got his side coming to their peak just at the right time.
Absolutely. We'll discuss City in length in terms of their domestic action later on in the show. Just in terms of in Europe, though, James, you mentioned they're often struggled in this tournament in previous years. I think we always go into the Champions League at the start, assuming that Manchester City will be the team that lifts the trophy. It hasn't been the case. Is there something different about this side this year?
I mean, the obvious one would be Erling Haaland, who you know, is going to give you a chance of winning tight games just because of his extraordinary prowess in front of goal. I mean, you know, I think there's been an element of kind of freakishness about the fact that City haven't got the job done in Europe yet. You know, obviously last season's defeat to Real Madrid was absolutely extraordinary. So I think, you know, the market has rated them as clearly the best side in Europe for sort of three or four seasons. And I think this season is the one when they're finally going to get their hands on the trophy.
An English side that aren't having as much luck at the moment at Chelsea. I did see a few of our esteemed colleagues, who I would describe as judges from time to time, saying that Chelsea looked to price here. I must say, even with hindsight, I could never see Chelsea finding a way past Real. They didn't. They were beaten 2-0. And problems continue to mount at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously they've had a very troubled build-up. They've had a troubled season, really. And you know, Real probably didn't have to be at their best to establish a very healthy lead. You know, Chelsea now haven't scored in 4 games. I saw Frank Lampard some bullish quotes saying that special things can happen at Stamford Bridge in the return fixture. I cannot see it happening myself, but I just think Real, as we saw last season, when they came through an extraordinary run of knockout games, including beating Chelsea, you know, they are such class acts in the Champions League. And, you know, with that 2-0 advantage, it would take something quite extraordinary for Chelsea to turn things around.
Absolutely. More on Chelsea later on in the show. Just in terms of the other games, James, Benfica beaten 2-0 by Inter, and Milan 1-0 victors over Napoli. Napoli are an interesting case. I know a lot of listeners to Bets Club will be on them for the Champions League this year, as well as many Racing Post Sport readers. Very sweet, according to some of our judges. Probably I'd describe this one as an upset in some ways. Milan coming through 1-0 winning.
I think it was to a certain extent when you look at the Serie A table with Napoli obviously miles clear. They did actually lose 4-0 to Milan in the league quite recently, which was a very rare setback given the way they've been playing domestically. And you know, Milan kind of scraped their way past Tottenham 1-0 on aggregate. I don't think they're a great team. And it's interesting actually to see Napoli still odds on to win the second leg. So if you are, I'm on Napoli and Benfica. So it's been quite a tough week for me. I'll try and keep my chin up. But that, you know, those odds for the second leg should give Napoli backers a little bit of cheer. And of course, they'll be desperately hoping that star striker Victor Osimhen will be back for that second leg.
Absolutely, yeah. Setback for Benfica, as you say. But putting this result aside, James, but been really impressive to watch them this season.
Yeah, they've been a lovely side to watch, and you know, they were kind of pretty solid favourites to win at home against an Inter side who've been in patchy form, just like Milan. So that was disappointing. I felt possibly the occasion may have got to Benfica a little bit. And Inter, you know, it was quite a sort of classic, stereotypical Italian performance. You know, they defended well and they've come away. They'd have been absolutely delighted with a one goal advantage. So to come away with a 2-0 lead, I think is a really big step for Inter into the semi-finals.
It's been a fascinating week of Champions League action. We've got an enthralling weekend of Premier League football ahead. Let's start with our match of the day. And we've picked out Manchester City to take on Leicester City this weekend. This one, the evening game on Saturday. James, this is an intriguing encounter. Manchester City, obviously, we know all about. But if you'd have said to me at the start of the season that Leicester would be banging trouble in terms of a relegation battle, I wouldn't have believed you. But that's where they find themselves. And they've put their faith in Dean Smith to try and guide them to safety. What have you made of happenings at Leicester over the last week or so?
I completely agree with you. For much of the season, I've thought they'd be, you know, too good to go down, as the phrase says. And I fear that maybe some of the players believe that as well, because, you know, they have kind of slid right into the deep trouble. I think 1 point from their last 8 games, and Dean Smith makes his Leicester debut with this trip to Manchester City. So that is, you know, a really daunting prospect for him. Having said that, you know, their next 4 games are against Wolves, Leeds, Everton and Fulham. So, you know, that set of fixtures, I think, will be more significant than Saturday's. Obviously, he doesn't want to start with a thumping at Manchester City. But, you know, we've seen City hammer some pretty decent opponents in recent weeks. In terms of Leicester, I feel they've kind of been hurt more than most teams by the World Cup break, actually. They had a really poor start and were just getting things together before the season was halted for the World Cup. They won 4 of their last 5 games going into that break and kept clean sheets in all of those victories, which was, you know, a real kind of surprise given how poorly they defended for the previous couple of seasons under Brendan Rodgers. So I think that was a blow. And then when the season resumed, they lost their first 4 games. You know, James Maddison's had injury problems throughout the season, really influential player for them. So it is a puzzle to see them down there. You know, they can turn it on their day. You know, the start of February, they beat Aston Villa 4-2 and then Spurs 4-1 in back-to-back games. So there's, you know, there's always that hope that they can suddenly start scoring goals, start racking up a couple of wins. But I don't see it happening on Saturday, I must admit.
It's a strange one, isn't it, with Leicester, because it felt inevitable that Brendan Rodgers would be given the sack at some point. And it came, and it still felt almost somewhat of a shock. But Dean Smith seems to be quickly turning into that manager that clubs down near the bottom turn to. He's kind of got that aura about him now, hasn't he? I mean, Villa fans obviously love him, Norwich City fans less keen on him. How do you think he'll fare with Leicester?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting appointment. And I mean, what I would say is, you know, he's obviously got Craig Shakespeare as part of his setup, and he was played a big role in Leicester's title winning season with Claudio Ranieri. So that's you know, that you'd think was sort of smooth over the transition a little bit. And I think Smith is still pretty highly regarded, and you know, it's almost a bit of a free hit, isn't it? Obviously not for Leicester as a club. They've you know, the threat of relegation looms large over any Premier League team, but for Smith to come in, you know, fresh ideas, a bit of energy. You know, Brendan Rodgers had been there a long time by Premier League managerial standards. So, and as I said, those four games immediately after the trip to City, I think they do offer Dean Smith a chance to start turning things around.
In terms of Manchester City then, James, we've discussed their Champions League exploits. They will have been happy with what they saw last weekend from an Arsenal perspective. They took the lead against Liverpool, 2-goal lead. Liverpool came and pegged that one back 2-2. Probably should have gone on to win the game. It puts City right back in the race. They're 6 points behind Arsenal with a game in hand. Do you think they'll be confident that they can make some ground here?
I think they will. I'm not sure City were ever out of the hunt. A side as good as them, and as I mentioned earlier, kind of peaking at just the right time. You look at their run in. They've got a lovely set of fixtures. I mean, they've got obviously the key home game against Arsenal later this month. You know, they've already won at the Emirates this season. And then that will be the crucial fixture. Other than that, I'm looking at it, probably their hardest game is Brighton away. And yeah, I think City, you know, you look at the bookmakers, I think have halved their price for the treble just in the last few days. Obviously, it has been a great week for them with Arsenal dropping points and then the victory against Bayern in the Champions League first leg. I think they're not going to relinquish their title easily, certainly. And Arsenal, you know, if they can nick a draw at the Etihad, it would be fantastic for them. But yeah, it's going to be tight.
Okay, in terms of this game, then, James, what's your best bet?
I think it's asking a bit much for Dean Smith to transform Leicester's fortunes immediately. And you know, looking at City, they've scored 24 goals in the last five games in all competitions. And I'm going for another wide margin win, I think. But the bet I like is probably Ilkay Gundogan to score at any time at about 3-1, denied by a brilliant save against Bayern Munich. Before that, he'd scored in three of his previous four home matches, including the win over Liverpool. So I think he could be a threat playing in a more advanced role.
Okay, great stuff. That's our match of the day. On to the rest of the Premier League fixtures.
Bet £10 and get £40 in free bets with Copybet, a sports book like no other, where you can copy bets from the top tipsters. Head over to copybet.com/promo/free-bet to claim. New customers only. Free bets are available only to UK residents over 18 years old. Terms apply. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
The early kickoff on Saturday, Aston Villa against Newcastle United. I must say, James, Villa's form has really kind of gone past me. I was looking at the table the other day and seeing them up to sixth. I mean, it's remarkable. I know Brighton have a couple of games in hand on them, but above Brighton, and Brighton have been the team that everyone have been speaking about this season, they host Newcastle this weekend. This should be a good one.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it is a fascinating clash. And yeah, Villa suddenly popped up in the top six. Unai Emery's done a fantastic job since he took charge. I mean, just before he got the job in October, Newcastle beat Villa 4-0. Since he took over, they've lost only four of their 17 league games. And three of those came against Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool. So absolutely no shame in those defeats. And I think it's going to be a really interesting clash. Obviously, Newcastle bang in form as well after a few awkward moments over the winter, but won their last five, scoring plenty of goals again. So I'm really looking forward to this one. They have conceded in four of their last five victories, Newcastle. So and Villa obviously full of confidence going forward with Ollie Watkins particularly. So I like the look of Newcastle to win and both teams to score in this one.
Okay, good stuff. If there was a game that Chelsea wanted to play to try and find some form in the Premier League, hosting Brighton probably wasn't the ideal fixture. This one, 3 o'clock on Saturday, another really difficult game for Chelsea, this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Brighton have just been so impressive this season. And I was keen on backing Brighton to win this game even before the Chelsea's Champions League game. But, you know, having had to play for the last half hour against Real Madrid with 10 men, I mean, that's another boost to Brighton backers, I think. You know, Brighton were pretty unlucky to lose at Tottenham last time out. I think they can certainly make amends at Stamford Bridge. They hammered Chelsea 4-1 in the reverse fixture, that just after Graham Potter had left to join Chelsea. And I just think there's a gulf between these two sides, you know, looking at the stats. Brighton averaged 1.64 points per game, Chelsea 1.3. Brighton have scored 52 league goals, Chelsea 29, and that's despite Chelsea playing two games more than them. So, I think if it wasn't for the kind of respective histories of these clubs and the names, I think Brighton would be even shorter than they are. And yeah, I think they're a cracking bet.
Okay, I'm sure we'll hear more about Brighton later on in the show when we get our copy bet treble. More on that later. Let's take a look at Everton against Fulham. Is there a risk here, James, that we start to see Fulham tail off ever so slightly? Obviously, Mitrovic out for a considerable amount of time. Will Everton be seeing this as an opportunity?
I think Everton will certainly target this as a chance for 3 points. Having said that, I'm not ready to back the Toffees at short odds, you know, kind of around even money. I don't think they appeal really. You know, Fulham obviously had an absolutely fantastic first half to the season, having been one of the favourites for relegation. The Mitrovic suspension will hamper them, and they've lost their last four. But I'd go for a draw in this one. I just think Everton still find wins hard to come by. One victory in their last seven. And yeah, they're just not the kind of team you want to be backing at relatively short odds.
Let's take a look at Southampton against Crystal Palace. Southampton rooted to the bottom of the table. Palace, free-flowing Palace at the moment under Roy Hodgson. I flicked that game on against Leeds the other day, James. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. Five goals for Palace in that one. Can that form continue into this?
I mean, it's, you know, as far, we've seen plenty of managerial appointments and changes this season, but I did not see Roy Hodgson, you know, in infusing Palace with the spirit of Brazil 1970. It's been absolutely fantastic for them these first two games. I think the context of this fixture should mean an entertaining game, and I like the look of both teams to score. Palace obviously playing with great freedom. I think they had 31 shots against Leicester in Hodgson's first game back. Still needed a late winner in that one, but then, as you said, thrashed Leeds 5-1. And actually, in the first game after Patrick Vieira's sacking, they created chances at Arsenal, went down 4-1. And Southampton at the bottom just have to go for 3 points now. I mean, draws are not going to do much for them, really. They did score in a defeat to Manchester City last time out. Had a 3-3 draw at home to Tottenham recently. So, yeah, I'm banking on plenty of entertainment in this one. Both teams to score.
Good stuff. Let's take a look at Spurs, who host Bournemouth this weekend. I must say, you mentioned that victory over Brighton earlier on in the show, James. I thought Spurs looked really sluggish in that one. They're going to need to improve going forwards if they want any chance of top four, don't they?
Yeah, that's certainly a long way below the standards that we have seen from them at times. Maybe not this season so regularly, but in the past couple of seasons. And yeah, again, you're looking at them. Very short price, obviously, against Bournemouth. And they do not look like home bankers to me. I think the Bournemouth or draw double chance is worth a small bet in this one. I mean, Bournemouth, I mentioned kind of Leicester earlier, who I just assumed were going to get out of trouble. Bournemouth with a reverse, I just assumed at some point they would kind of end up adrift. But I've been really impressed by the way they're scrapped for survival. You know, they were seconds away from drawing at Arsenal in that thrilling game at the start of March, kind of late 96th minute goal for Reece Nelson, I think it was, that got the points for Arsenal. But they've responded so well to that. They've won three of their last five, beating Liverpool, Fulham and Leicester. Good value for that victory at Leicester last weekend. And you know, Spurs, before that Brighton win, which, as we've said, they were pretty lucky to take maximum points there. They were held to draws by Everton and Southampton. I'm happy to oppose them this weekend.
Let's take a look at Wolves against Brentford then. And you assume when you see a side in 13th in the Premier League, they're probably going to be safe. It's not the case in the Premier League this season. It's very tight down at the bottom there. Wolves in 13th on 31 points. Forest 18th on 27. So Wolves still just 4 points clear of those relegation spots. Brentford going well. How do you see this one going?
I think the safest bet for any Wolves game is to say that it's going to be a tight contest, and this one looks like it'll be a similar story. I mean, looking at Brentford's record against the teams in the bottom half of the Premier League, they've lost only once in 16 games. So I think around even money, Brentford draw no bet looks a bit of value at Molineux. I mean, they're going to be playing with a bit more freedom. As you mentioned, you know, Wolves, despite their league position, they're still in a pretty precarious predicament in the scrap for survival. So a bit more tension around Molineux than there is for Brentford. Wolves don't blow teams away. They've won 8 league games this season. 5 of them were by a 1-0 margin, 2 by a 2-1 margin. So I think Brentford will certainly be in this game. And they look decent value on the draw no bet.
It does feel, James, more than ever in the Premier League that there's things riding on every fixture. We move into Sunday's games, and none more so than West Ham against Arsenal. Now, I just think that if you're an Arsenal fan, these are the types of games that you're going to be absolutely petrified about. Probably expected to win, but it's not going to be a walk in the park. How do you see this one?
Well, speaking as an Arsenal fan, it is tense. But having said that, you know, I was so heartened by the way Arsenal played in the first half at Anfield. Obviously, I kind of blocked out my memory of the second half a bit. I think Mikel Arteta will be kind of highlighting that effort as well. And I think especially as West Ham have a Conference League trip to Belgium on Thursday, I think a fast start for Arsenal will be crucial. I mean, they've scored 8 first half goals in their last 4 league games. So a kind of 11 to 10 to be leading at half time. I think Arsenal will hopefully settle a few nerves early on. They were absolutely terrific, blasting out the blocks at Anfield. I think generally they have shown great resilience this season, coming back from setbacks. You know, I think they took 1 point from 3 games and then went on a long winning streak, scoring late winners at Aston Villa. So I expect them to bounce back hopefully take charge by halftime.
I must say, James, I have been surprised by the calmness of Arsenal fans, because I keep posing these questions, trying to spot the nibble, but I'm not getting anything back from a few of you guys. It feels like there's a tranquility about the place.
I don't know about that. I think half of it is still not quite believing the season that we've had, having gone off at 50-1 to win the title. I think the fact that City are such a terrific side, I'm still saying if rather than when Arsenal get overhauled, I think that would soften the blow, because, you know, you're in a race with probably the best team in Europe. And the other thing I would say with Arsenal is that, you know, you look at the age of the squad. Hopefully this is just the start. So hopefully we can get over the line. Although I think like some runners in the Grand National, you are wanting the line to come. City looking a little bit fresher.
No, it's been very exciting watching you guys this season, so long may that continue. The other game on the Sunday, Nottingham Forest against Manchester United. I feel as if Forest's form has gone under the radar a little bit, James. I mean, they haven't won since the start of February. I mean, there was so much praise for Steve Cooper at the start of the season, but it doesn't feel like there's been huge levels of criticism despite the recent form. They find themselves in the bottom three, hosting Manchester United this weekend.
Yeah, they've had a really interesting season, haven't they? From kind of bringing in 20 odd new players at the start of the season, their away form's been dismal. Their home form has actually been pretty solid. They've scored in all but one of their home league matches. Their only loss in their last 11 at the City Ground was when they conceded a very late penalty against Newcastle. And yet, as you say, their overall form means they are in deep trouble. I mean, it's a really tough game to pick a bet out from. You know, United obviously in Europa League action on Thursday, missing top scorer Marcus Rashford, who's played such a crucial part for Erik ten Hag. I'd be tempted to have a little nibble on Forest to score the first goal at almost 2-1. I mean, hoping there'll be a bit of a hangover from United European exertions. Forest have scored first in three of their last four games. They've not gone on to win any of those. So they will go at United, I think. Obviously more confident at the City Ground than they are away from home. And maybe they could land the first blow, but even then you'd struggle to see them holding on for all 3 points.
Feels like it's going to be somewhat of a slog for Forest for the rest of this season. Always a good week when Monday night football's ahead. It's Leeds United against Liverpool. Liverpool confused me, James. I'm just going to say, I thought they were superb in that second half against Arsenal. I've seen flurries of them this season. And then sort of looking at performances, their defeat to Bournemouth, where they've just looked half the side they were. Where do you rate them?
Yeah, I mean it is so difficult to pin them down. Really, you know, you kind of think they've turned a corner, and then yeah, as you said, you know, lost to Bournemouth, and I mean there's an element of chaos about both of these teams. You know, Liverpool defensively, we saw in that first half against Arsenal, all over the shop, and you know, away from home as well, they're not the same force that they are at Anfield. I think there will be goals in this one. This is what I'm promising. I can't be confident about any other predictions on this game, because you know, Leeds have to go for it. Liverpool, you know, draws are no good to them if they are going to pinch a top four spot. Four of Leeds' last five have had over 3.5 goals, so that looks the line to get over, I think. And you know, as we saw last weekend, you have to be positive against Liverpool. You know, you're obviously wary of their attacking quality. That's not quite such an issue when you're at home against them. But you know, you looked at the way they defended early on against Arsenal, and I think Leeds with sort of Bamford and Rodrigo and Jack Harrison, they have the attacking players available now to trouble Liverpool.
Okay, hoping for goals galore on Monday night then. We're also really excited to have been able to welcome Poppy Bet at the Bets Club. They're our proud sponsors from now until the end of the season, and hopefully going forward as well. Each and every week, we'll be doing an enhanced treble on the show, picked out by our expert tipsters. Head over to the Poppy Bet website and you'll be able to see an enhanced price on this. You can see details for it in the description below. James, what's going to be your treble for this week?
Yeah, we're going to kick off the treble with both teams to score in Southampton against Palace. Mentioned earlier, you know, Palace turning on the style under Roy Hodgson. And Southampton, I think, have a bit about them going forward. And you know, they're also in kind of desperate need of wins. So I think they're not going to be able to sit back and hope to nick something against Palace. I'm expecting an open game at St Mary's.
That's the first of the treble. How about the second leg?
Yeah, more gloom for Chelsea, I'm afraid. I think Brighton are a cracking bet to win at Stamford Bridge. You know, felt pretty hard done by that they lost at Tottenham last time out. But you know, they've just been terrific this season, and Chelsea have now failed to score in their last four matches in all competitions.
No hope for Chelsea this weekend, according to James Milton. That's two of the three. Let's add a final selection to this treble.
Yeah, the last one is in the Championship. I'm going, again, for both teams to score in Stoke versus West Brom. Now, Stoke had a pretty dour goalless draw at Birmingham on Monday, but I'm expecting fireworks when they host the Baggies. Stoke have scored at least three times in each of their last six league wins. And West Brom, far from solid at the back, but they pose a goal threat of their own. Both teams to score has actually copped before half-time in the Baggies' last two league games.
Well, it was a tough ask getting people excited for Stoke against West Brom, but you've done it very well. Joe Casey will be joining us now to deliver his best bets for the EFL. It's hotting up there as well. Delighted to be able to welcome EFL expert Joe Casey to the Bets Club podcast this week. Joe, listeners wanting you back after last week's showing. So a couple of tips from the Championship, one from League Two this week. We'll start with your first Championship selection.
Yep, two out of three last week. So hopefully we can get the clean sweep up this time around. Starting in the Championship, I'm going to go for Coventry to be QPR. Coventry got a little bit unlucky last time out. They drew 2-2 with Watford. They probably deserve more from that game. They probably should have had a second half penalty. They managed to come back from 2-0 down. And QPR, really hard to fancy them at the minute. They're, you know, they were top of the league in October, and they've been the worst team in the division since then. They've lost 9 of their last 11 games. They did come back from 2-0 down against West Brom last week on Easter Monday, but they are still easily taken on. Coventry have only lost one of their last 12, and they're kind of on the fringes of the playoff discussion. So they need to start winning games, really, because they've drawn a few kind of crucial matches. So they need to start winning if they're going to sneak into the playoffs. But I think in general, they kind of fly under the radar a little bit, Coventry. The job that Mark Robbins has done there has been, you know, they've probably got a bottom five wage budget. And they've got Victor Gyökeres and Gustavo Hamer, who I think are two players who are kind of a cut above at this level. And they're two wing-backs on loan from the Premier League, have both impressed. And I think those kind of players are just slightly a cut above what QPR have. And also QPR obviously be low on confidence after losing 9 of their last 11. So I think Coventry can get a big win in the playoff race.
Yeah, QPR's downturn, quite extraordinary from October to now. Let's take a look at your second selection in the Championship this weekend, Joe.
Yeah, so sticking with the kind of playoff race, there's another huge game between Preston and Millwall. They're level on points. Millwall are ahead on goal difference. Preston are one of those teams, you know, every year that seems to be, there's a team that makes a kind of late run for the playoffs. And Preston have won 5 of their last 6 games. And those wins might have come against the poorer teams in the division. But, you know, winning could become a habit, and they could carry that on here. So I fancy them in the draw, no bet market. You want to be wary sometimes with these teams who are so closely matched. Sometimes it's better to just take the draw out of the equation. Troy Parrott was the kind of eye-catching loan signing for Northend this season. But they've also picked up Everton's Tom Cannon on loan in January, and he's kind of been the real star recently. He scored 7 goals in his last 15 games for the team. And they're one of the best away teams in the division. Only the top two, Burnley and Sheffield United, have won more times on the road than Preston. They've got 10 wins away from home. Millwall are obviously to be respected. You know, they're a very solid team, especially at home. They don't concede much. I think this will probably be a low-scoring affair. You've got two of the lowest-scoring teams in the top half of the division here. But they're winless in their last 4, Millwall, and they're odds on. And I just think you can take them on at that price. They haven't scored in their last 4. And they could be one of those teams that are kind of treading water in that playoff race. And yeah, Preston draw no bet for them in that one.
Yeah, you're spot on with Preston. As a fan of a club going for the top six, you sort of just didn't even associate Preston with that top six run. But they're banging it now. And hopefully for their fans, the score will be reflecting of your tip, Joe. Third and final one, coming from League Two.
Yeah, dropping down to League Two. And it's Mansfield draw no bet when they visit Grimsby. The six matches unbeaten, Mansfield. So they're still in the kind of playoff hunt. They're a point outside with six games to go. They've only won two of those. So again, this is another one where maybe it's easier to just take the draw completely out of the equation. But they had eight shots on target last time against, they drew 1-1 against Rochdale. They could have probably, you know, on another day won that game. They're still the top scorers in League Two, scored 64 times this season. And it could be a good opportunity for them to get a crucial win. You know, they're playing a Grimsby side who have had a long season. Obviously, they reached the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. And since then, they've really struggled. They're out of the playoff race, but they're one of those teams that are in that kind of soft middle where they're not going to go down, but they're not going to get involved in the playoff race. They've only won one of the last seven games since that 5-0 beaten by Brighton in the FA Cup. And I think maybe that kind of took the wind out of their season a little bit. And they're now kind of, you know, maybe looking to the next campaign. They've conceded eight in the last three games. And they're also not great at home. They've only won four times in their 19 games at Blundell Park this season. And again, the Stags are really good on the road. Only two teams in League Two are better than Mansfield away from home. They've got 10 wins from their 20 away games. And I think, you know, this is a case of one of those teams has plenty to play for, you know, 1 point outside the playoff race, and another team kind of, you know, feeling that maybe their season has peaked a little bit. So I think Mansfield in the draw no bet market.
A compelling argument, Joe. Just remind us of your three for this weekend.
So we've got Coventry to beat QPR, Preston draw no bet when they play Millwall, and Mansfield draw no bet when they play Grimsby.
Excellent stuff. Thanks very much, Joe.
Cheers.
A big thanks to Joe, as always. You can check out more of his work on the Racing Post Sport website. Really exciting times in the EFL at the moment. James, let's round things off then with some of your best bets for this week. And we'll start with a prop shop.
Yeah, I'm putting the boot into Chelsea again, I'm afraid. Alexis McAllister to score at any time for Brighton at Stamford Bridge. He's scored three times in his last six Premier League matches. He's been playing in a more attacking role and racking up the shots. I mean, since the start of February, he's averaged more than four shots per 90 minutes in the Premier League. And he's also converted all five of Brighton's penalties this season. So I think he could get chances against a Chelsea side who will surely be a little bit weary after their defeat in Madrid.
Listeners to Bets Club always love a big price. So let's provide them with a long shot for this weekend.
Well, I've gone for a correct score in the early championship game on Saturday. So Sheffield United to win 2-0 against Cardiff. Now, Sheffield United obviously gunning for automatic promotion. They lost at Burnley on Monday, but had their goalkeeper sent off early on. And, you know, as we've seen this season, the Clarets are a class apart from any other team in the second tier. Sheffield should bounce back against Cardiff, who have really struggled on the road this season. Failed to score in 12 of their 19 away matches. They lost 1-0 at home to Sunderland last time out, and I can't see them landing a blow at Bramall Lane. So a 2-0 home win for Sheffield United.
Well, we were dipping into the Championship for the long shot this week. If you were to have one bet this weekend, James, what would it be?
Yeah, I'm going to League One for the nap this weekend. Lincoln have had a ridiculous number of draws in League One this season, 19 of their 40 games, but they've got back in the winners' enclosure a couple of times recently, taken 7 points from their last three games, and that includes fixtures against the top two, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday. So I think that bodes well for their home game against Port Vale. Vale lost 3-0 at Accrington in their last away game, and haven't scored in their last three matches. So Lincoln to beat Port Vale in League One.
Very good. That rounds off another week of Bets Club. Thanks to James. As always, a big thanks to Joe Casey for his insight on the EFL. And a big thanks to Copybet as well, who are sponsoring Bets Club going forwards. You can get £40 in free bets when you stake £10. All of the information, plus the T's and C's, for that one in the description below. Remember to only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Myself and Mark will be back next week for another episode of Bets Club.
Thank you for listening to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, sponsored by CopyBet.